I know that some of you have only come for the cheese and wine, so I'll try and do this quickly. Where to start? Well, I want to start with thanks. A bit like an awards ceremony, there's a danger when you start thanking people that you forget someone. But I'm going to try and thank. So I'll thank you all to start with. Thank you all for being part of this this church family. Then I haven't forgotten anyone. But I want to thank Sue, who keeps me sane and ensures that I have some sort of dress sense as well. Particular thanks to... I didn't hear that. Particular thanks to James and Jerry. They've been thanked already, but the wardens and the PCC are so helpful in helping to try and move things forward. The new structure, which we voted through and we looked at last year, has worked. We reviewed it in September. It really has worked. It still could be tweaked and things, but we're finding that as a PCC, we're meeting more often. We're meeting subgroups as well, but we're getting an awful lot done, and I'm very grateful for the PCC for being part of that and for challenging and encouraging me. Now, I want to thank those members of the PCC. I don't think they're here, but who are standing down particularly. Malcolm, check I don't miss anyone, but it's Martin and David? Just Martin and David. Yes. Yes. So Martin Thomas and David Smith have both stepped down this time, and we're very grateful for all that they have done. Special thanks as well to Harvey, to Malcolm and Keith, who are our officers and who help, again, with all of the detail around PCC. Keith does an incredible job of volunteering. He gives us a day a week consistently and faithfully. As you've seen, our finance has grown significantly over the last few years. Please do go to Parish Gifts Giving Scheme, because anything that makes his life easier and means that he'll do the job for longer is appreciated. So please... I also very grateful to the staff team. We do have a great staff team. They have to put up with me, but I'm very grateful for all that they give to us. And some of them are not here tonight because they're doing various things, like Andy is at Alpha this evening. And I've mentioned Kirsty moving on. Kirsty's here. Very grateful. We thanked her publicly, but for all that Kirsty did. I'll be mentioning B-Space again in a minute, but B-Space is a wonderful thing. She left, and she's now lay chair, B-Space. Yeah, just needed too much to do. You didn't have enough to do, did you, Kirsty? But great to have Lisa and Rachel joining the team as well. Also, huge thanks to the retired clergy and the lay ministers. It's been great seeing in this last year the Tuesday at 2 service growing and developing. If you're available at Tuesday at 2 on a Tuesday, funnily enough, then that happens here, and it's a reflective service, but it's a lovely time in the middle of the week to stop and to think and to pray. And I'm particularly grateful as well to Roger, Hal, Martin Down, and Mary, as they've all helped with South Lee. Nick Pike, who is my colleague, associate minister, has been very unwell in this last year, has had more than 6 months now, where he's not been able to help at South Lee. He is now getting better and hoping to start maybe once a month again. But Martin, Roger, Mary have all stepped in and helped, as has Ian actually as well, with students from Ocker. And I'm very grateful for that. I genuinely do as well want to thank you all for last year was tough. It was a tough year. I don't think I can say that bit, but you know why it was tough. And I am grateful for the support that you gave me and Sue during that year. And it was tough in ministry as well. You know, the constraints of the people keep saying to me, "Oh, isn't it wonderful having this problem that the building's too small?" No, it's really not. You know, it's really not. No, it's not. And the constraints we have that are impacting ministry are a challenge, and they're a challenge to try and negotiate. And we continue to try and do that. But in continuing to give thanks, I want to continue to thank, just as we've had a snapshot of some of the things that people are involved with. But so many of you, James said, we're a body, and so many of you are involved in different things related to the church, beyond the church, in the wider community. Again, there's a danger that I will forget one or two of them as I say these now, but I did read a verse at the beginning which said, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So if I forget something, you've got to forgive me. The Lord forgave you. Forgive me. But open doors, numbers of you are involved with open doors as staff or supporting them. The help they do for the persecuted church is amazing, and it's a privilege having them in the town. A+, encouraging young people to live life to the max. John and Tessa was one of some of those who apologised that they couldn't be here tonight. I got along to some of their director's day on Saturday. It's wonderful seeing what they do and are doing. And I know there's numbers of people here who support them. B+, helping people to give out of their time, money and possessions to those in need. If you've never been out on a B+ van or to do a B+ project, and maybe that's something we could get the men's ministry hooked into. Brilliant. CAP, helping people to get out of debt. We support this as a church. We support individuals within that as well. B Space, which is where Kirsty is now working, which is the group who support prayer spaces in school, take prayer spaces into schools and into churches for children, engaging them with prayer. Street Pastors, Late Night Cafe. I know Street Pastors have a meeting tonight, which is again where some of our folk are. Helping people to get home and stay safe when they've overdone it on a Saturday night. TLG, Transforming Lives for Good. We have Transforming Lives for Good coaches in the church. Judith gave her report last year. She tonight is doing marriage preparation with a couple. So she and Paul can't be here. But what they're doing, what she's doing as a link worker, what TLG are doing, they're now doing some family mornings at Adventure Plus for families that need a bit more support. And those are proving to be incredible times. I was actually in a meeting this week where I'm a governor at the school, but where the impact of TLG certainly has in the coaching has helped some young people who otherwise might not have been able to stay in the school. And so it's amazing that the impact you are making as a body in different ways. I loved Judith's phrase last year of breaking the cycle of chaos. Well, we want to be part of that, part of breaking that cycle of chaos. Wonderful things taking place regularly in the church. You know, Alpha tonight, people who don't know Jesus being encouraged to discover him. They had a great away day this last week. Seniors ministry, women's breakfast, marriage preparation, kids and youth work. You've heard of other things. There is an awful lot going on. There's an awful lot going on. And thank you to all of you who are involved in those things. And if you ever think, I just can't get involved, come and have a chat. Because like Chris, you'll find yourself running a ministry within minutes. There's plenty of opportunity for more as well. Then I just wanted to also say, just a little bit, it's been mentioned tonight, we give away 10% of our unrestricted income. And again, we give to Burundi, or we try to, it's coming back, but we're giving to Burundi. This last year, Lebanon, we've given to, we increased the connections to Lebanon. I'm committed to going out for a week a year. They're not letting me uncommit from that, so I'm committed to that. And it is a wonderful opportunity to go and teach very new Christians and be out with them in Beirut. St. Philip Salford, the work that Hillary does with the Bible Society Trauma and Trauma Workshops, other things that John and Annie just back from Egypt, supporting Open Doors. There are wonderful things taking place. Now, I know I've forgotten some things, and you can remind me of them afterwards. I'll make sure they make my list for next year. But tonight's an opportunity just to take a moment and think, there's a lot that we can be thankful for, that God is doing among us, that we are doing as community. But there is more. There's more. The world is hurting and broken, and there's opportunity for us to get more engaged with our community and beyond. One of the comments that I've received lately is that our vision isn't clear. Is it about seeing lives transformed through encountering Jesus? If you look at the front, is it about lives transformed through encountering Jesus? Is it about becoming a resourcing church, and what does that mean? And during my time away on retreat a couple of weeks ago, I spent some time reflecting and praying about this. And I reached the conclusion that all of us, whether young or old, we all need meaning, we need purpose, we need to belong, and we want to flourish. We need meaning, purpose, we need to belong, and we want to flourish. And I came back to that central statement on the front of the sheet that you're now hopefully holding. We want to enable everyone to flourish through connecting with God, each other, and their world. And when we were initially praying about flourishing, which was probably 4 or 5 years ago, Rich gave me this Bible verse as an image of flourishing, Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. An image of flourishing, fruitfulness, healing. Now, if you go back into 47 verse 1, it talks about the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. The river comes from the temple. It's symbolic of the worship of God, flowing from the temple. It's symbolic of the water of life. You remember Jesus speaks of the water of life in John 4 when he's speaking to the Samaritan woman. He answers her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's what that river is, living water. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The water that Jesus gives is life-giving. It's living. It gives purpose and meaning. It purifies. And Ezekiel talks about the river getting deeper and people, the man entering it. And then he says in verse 8, the water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. The river purifies. It makes the salty and dirty and unusable fresh, clean, life-giving. If you feel you need a freshness in your life, come to the river. Come to the river. And then you have the same imagery in Revelation 22 in the holy city. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees. Oh, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The image of the heavenly city, the river of life, the river flowing from the temple in Ezekiel, the water of life that John speaks of, the river of life in Revelation. Do you see a theme? Do you see a theme? Swarms of living creatures, back to Ezekiel, will live wherever the river flows. There'll be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Where the river flows, everything will live. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. My friends, that is the vision. That's the vision. It's a biblical vision of the water of life flowing in and through us so that we would be fruitful and bring healing to our world. Spiritual, emotional, physical healing. Healing to the nations. Healing to our nation. Does our nation need healing right now? Oh boy. But that's the river of life. The water flows, it flows from here. It flows to your workplaces. It flows to your schools, to your offices, to your communities, to your neighbors. The river of life flows. And I want to invite you again to get into the river of God's Spirit and flourish. We want to see individuals, our community, our world transformed through encountering God and following Jesus, being filled with his Spirit and doing his will. And some of you think that's all very good and pretty and fine, but what does it actually look like? What does it actually look like? Well, what does flourishing look like in your life and in my life and in the lives of individuals? Well, we identified previously four things that lead to a flourishing life. And I do need to say at this point that a flourishing life does not mean a happy, comfortable life. A flourishing life is a life that flourishes whatever the circumstances, whatever people are going through, they can flourish. And here are four things that we previously identified that I've spoken on before, and that I just felt God said to me, Simon, this is the vision, remind them. Remind them. This is what we need to do to flourish. And those four things are we need, and there are probably more than four, but these are the four that we identified. Transformational encounters with God through Jesus by his Spirit. We need those. We need them. Our world needs them. And I don't care where that happens or what your flourishing place is. For me, it's often when I'm walking in the countryside. I do love singing worship songs. I know some of you don't. My most transformational experiences are either walking along cliff tops or in celebration contexts surrounded by people who are hungry for God, who are singing passionately and powerfully and shouting out to God and making a lot of noise because I'm half Celt. That's what I blame. You didn't know that, did you? But that's what it is. I've worked it out. I was a redhead when I was a child. Yeah, you didn't know that either. You wouldn't have appointed me if I'd turned up as a redhead, would you? I wasn't this grey when I arrived either. But I don't care how your transformational experiences happen, whether it's reading ancient literature, whether it's in a silent place on your own, whether it's at the 8 o'clock service, whether it's in a loud service where I'll be, or wherever it is, you need transformational daily renewal experiences with God because you and I need to change. We're meant to be becoming more like Jesus. If we haven't changed since this time last year, something is wrong. We are meant to be transformed. We're meant to be becoming more Christ-like, more loving, more hopeful, more faithful, more joyful. And folks, here's the thing. This is about discipleship. This is about our discipleship, becoming more like, being a follower, becoming more like the one that we are following. And it's not my responsibility for your discipleship. It's your responsibility. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I want to give you resources, and we've got some coming for the diocese that we want to use. But it's no good coming to church thinking, well, this is going to make me a disciple. You know, you've got to take your discipleship seriously. And as I say, we want to help you, but each of us is responsible for our own discipleship. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We need this. We need transformational encounters with God through Jesus by his Spirit, and we need it daily, and our world needs it. So that's the first thing in flourishing. The second thing is we need to belong. We need to belong to a community of faith and hope. You need to be known and know that you're needed. If you're not part of a Connect group, who's going to miss you if you're not here on a Sunday? You know, we need our Connect groups to be strong and healthy, inviting others to join them so that no one gets lost. So that's the second thing, to belong. And the third is we need to use our spiritual gifts and abilities for God's glory, the benefit of others, and the building of the church. We all have spiritual gifts and abilities. If you don't know what those are, ask a friend. Ask someone who knows you well. You know, say, I know it's very un-English, isn't it, to say, what am I good at? You know, but actually, sometimes we need to be told that we're good at something, and then we can do it more. And God has given us spiritual gifts and abilities to build the body, the church, and we all need to play. Rich said it last week when he was preaching. We all need to play, And we flourish when we're using our gifts. And many of us already are. You know, I've been through all of those things where people are using their gifts. And then the fourth thing is this living a life in rhythm. You know, we live in a world where everyone is running. And we need to create the places where we stop. Where we stop running. Where we ask ourselves the questions, have I changed since this time last year? Do I look any more like Jesus than I did this time last year? If not, what am I doing? What am I doing? Not just running through life. We need rhythms, healthy rhythms. You know, one of the things that, for me, attracts me about missional communities, it's trying to encourage life rhythms, mission out of our life, not more programs. We don't want to, churches can be very good at putting on more programs, but we want rhythms, healthy rhythms, God, living God's rhythms. And, you know, I got so excited way back when we were looking at Flourish and Andy first pointed me to the crest of, and the motto of Whitney, Ingenio Florimus, with ingenuity we flourish. And we need ingenuity going forward. We need creativity. Practically, thank you for bearing with me over the last year. I recognise that the changes of services was not comfortable or easy. Sunday mornings, as I said already, are still a challenge. We can't continue indefinitely as we are. However, we want to make the best of what we're doing, recognizing that change will come. Change will come. I'm not about to announce a big change, just so those of you who are getting nervous were. But change will come. We live in a world that's changing. I do need to let you know about something, though. There will be a moment this year, hopefully October, November time, when we won't be able to use the church for 2 months. Because when the roof is repaired, it's all going to be covered off from the steps backwards. So we will be able to use this bit, but we won't be able to use the back of the church for 2 months. Okay? We're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to be doing things differently. We've raised £77,000 so far. No, it was less than that. 67. Was it 77? 67. Oh, so 77 with a promise of 10. We're waiting for grants. We received a grant this just a week ago of £3,000 from the All Churches Trust. We'd hoped for a bit more from them. We need to raise... The reason we're not now doing the work in the summer is because there is... Hopefully, we will receive a big grant in July, but we can't obviously sign off to do the work until we've got that grant. You know, if anybody really would like to give any more money to the roof, I promise you the roof will take it. But you know, we're going to have to do that work. And so for 2 months, we're going to have to be creative. We're not going to be in the church for 2 months. Hopefully they'll be finished by Christmas. Otherwise, well, I'll have Christmas off. Hurrah! So that's one of the ways that change is going to happen. Another change that's going to happen, is likely to happen in the next few months, is Rich will get a job. He's going to go off and be a vicar somewhere else. And I've got to be honest, I'm going to be absolutely gutted when Rich and Catherine go. There is going to be a big Rich and Catherine-shaped hole in our community, and it will take us quite a time to fill that. And obviously Andy is getting ordained in the summer. He will become our curate. But we will be a staff member down. Now, the news, and Bishop Colin has said, I can tell you this, is that Bishop Colin has agreed that we can have an associate vicar. However, he's not agreed how it will be paid for. But he has agreed, and partly that's based on our growth and the size of the church now. And you do have to get the bishop to agree that sort of thing, so that's a good thing. And he's agreed it based on our growth. And he is hopeful, and I am hopeful, that we might be able to apply for some funding from the diocese to help with that position. But please pray, because it would be partly to help us to be a resourcing church and to continue to be and develop as a resourcing church. And please pray as I continue to have conversations with the deanery and the diocese. Recently, I was asked by Toby Wright, who's the vicar of St. Mary's on the Green and is also the area dean, to become the assistant area dean with responsibility for church planting, missional communities and growth. And in a weak moment, I accepted. So So and part of that is because as a deanery, we want to try and encourage churches to grow and to go forward. I'm excited about what that means as being part of a resourcing church. Now, the vision is flourishing. The strategy, I believe, is transformational and resourcing. It's doing things that transform. It's how we are resourcing. Now, resourcing church, what does it mean? Well, it means a vision beyond ourselves. A vision to not just see this church flourish, but churches across the deanery, the town, the area flourish. It means training up more riches to give them away. It means being a church that's looking outside of ourselves. And a place that we can already do that, and some of us already are, and I've mentioned already, but is South Lee. South Lee are asking for help, and we're thinking of starting a monthly Sunday afternoon cafe church in the village hall. And if anybody would be interested in helping them to do that and helping me to help them to do that, then do come and have a chat to me about it. But one of the questions that has come up is, how can we be a resourcing church if we can't resource what we're already doing? Because we're always asking for volunteers. And, you know, whatever the size of the church, there's always opportunities and always asking for volunteers. But God's economy is a weird one. That when you give away, when you step out in faith, when you look outside of yourself, when you're not selfish, then actually he blesses that. And he grows you. And he gives you. But when you try and maintain, and I've got to be honest, I know lots of churches that are maintaining decline. When you try and maintain, then you decline. And so we want to be a generous church. We want to be a resourcing church. And we're already doing it. We're already doing it. I had a lovely email of encouragement this morning from Elizabeth. She said I could share it. As you know, I am now a governor at St. Mary's Infants, and I spent most of Tuesday and Wednesday there for a two-day B-Space event organized and run by Kirsty. It was the first time St. Mary's Infants had prayer spaces. It went brilliantly. Our head and RE coordinator were thrilled. Peter Scott, Jill Elson, Cecile Harrison, and Mary Graves all came as helpers for the individual spaces, and Charlotte Thomas was wonderful in helping to set up. I was there as the link governor, so had the privilege of being present at all the sessions, and it occurred to me very strongly that I was seeing in action an effect of St. Mary's Cogs as a resource church. Kirsty and her children and families role grew with us so that she was ready to take on the B-Space role, and she's now a resource for the deanery and beyond. Peter, Jill, Mary, Cecile and Charlotte were all providing precious expertise gained with us. I do feel that overall you should feel encouraged by this. Something happening on the ground which actually models what you feel we are called to. I'm hugely encouraged by it. That's what it means to be a resourcing church. That's what it's about. Final thing I want to say before I let you at the wine is... it's countrywide. You know, we had a look at the building in October. It came on our radar. Many of us felt, well, this is exciting. Some not so sure. But it may come back to us. The reason it's not on the table anymore is that someone, a local business, is buying it effectively, and they have the money, so they're buying it. They're ahead of us on that one. But what Countrywide really helped us to do was focus. It helped us to think about, well, is that the sort of building? Is that the sort of thing? And if we did that, what would be the impact on here? And how would that work? And, you know, how could we have two places at once? And those sort of questions came up. And as the PCC, we commissioned and we raised some money for this Seed Corn Fund. We commissioned a feasibility study with an organisation called Action Planning and a gentleman called David Saint, who's visited lots of churches and done this sort of thing. And the purpose of that feasibility study was to see whether it was a pipe dream, or whether actually, if the building had been available, whether we'd have been able to raise the money to buy it. And he has. I'm not going to read you the whole report; it's very long. But he's now produced his report. He was very encouraging. He did feel that it was a good resource and a good value. I just want to read you a few of his comments, which are encouraging. Overall, and I should say, he interviewed 24 households, representative from the church. He agreed that they were very representative, range of people, some who were for the project, some who weren't, some who were new to the church, some who weren't, some who were younger, some who were older. He said, overall, the majority of interviewees recognised that something needed to be done. And most of these accepted the countrywide building was probably the only viable option, at least at present. Perhaps a more positive way of saying the same thing, and equally true, would be that the majority of people were pleased and encouraged that something is being done. Another observation from the outside, it is self-evident but worth stating, St. Mary's is a victim of its own success. If it wasn't a thriving, growing church, it wouldn't be having to think creatively about alternative premises. And rather than empire building, it is seeking to use its resources to help resource other churches in the area, as well as building up its own work in its own community. This is really quite unusual for an individual church, and Simon and the PCC are to be commended for and should be encouraged in this outward-looking approach. A final observation from the outside. Overall, Karina, that was his colleague, and I got a very positive vibe from our interviews. We felt we were meeting with spirit-filled, committed Christians, generous in style and willing to be generous in giving. We felt we were meeting with a healthy church, all generally pulling in the same direction with great goodwill. Every church will have some disagreements, tensions, concerns. Every church will have some people who feel that their interests are not as well served as those of other groups. St. Mary's Cogs is no different in that respect. And the reason we've cited these various issues is so that wherever possible, the church can address them. But the underlying positivity within the church and for the church's leadership is a great resource with which to work. And finally, the conclusion to his report said this: it's been a real privilege to journey alongside the people of St. Mary's Cogs over the past few weeks, building an understanding of the issues, the opportunities, the anxieties, and the possible solutions. We've been impressed by the vision, the optimism, the realism, the humility, the enthusiasm, and the love variously expressed by the people we spoke with. It is quite clear that something must be done, and that the church is working hard to understand in both spiritual and practical terms what that something should be. Overall, we were very encouraged by our conversations and hope this report will be similarly encouraging careful and prayerful consideration followed by effective communication leading to passionate commitment and giving. Here's the thing, and with this I finish. Jesus told us to seek the kingdom and he would build his church. We sometimes reverse that and try and build the church in the hope that his kingdom will come. We're to seek and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We seek it, we bring it. We're called to Whitney to such a time as this, to get into the river of God's Spirit, experience the river of life flowing in and through us to Whitney and beyond. Would you stand? I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church where you've called us all to. Thank you for the friendships we've made. Thank you for the challenges we face. But thank you, Lord, that we want to go into those together. We want to go to the places that you're calling us to in the ways that you're calling us. And Lord, we want to be in the river. We want to be filled with your Spirit. We want to be transformed so that we are more Christ-like as individuals and as a community. And Lord, give us wisdom. Give us creativity. Show us the way forward. And let us hear your voice every step of the way. Amen.